person, I didn't like the way they looked. You know, they weren't dressed like I dress. Their hair was kind of messy. They were, you know, I mean, it was just, it wasn't a clone of me, you know. So I thought, well, there's something wrong with this guy, you know. So anyway, I got through that presentation and so on. And so we got into the actual running of the business, and it was a real struggle at first. I mean, this business was a real, real tough turnaround. This person became the most valuable member of the team to me. I will never forget that lesson. And to this day, when I see someone or am introduced to somebody, and I think, you know, I hear the little voice in the back of my mind saying, oh, you know, who is this? I'm reminded of that experience and many other ones like it, by the way, where that person turned out to be a very valuable person to me.
Yeah, agreed. Because you never know. And again, I'm just going to bring something from the networking and what I learned that is very important in building the relationship is to never burn bridges. Because, yeah, you don't know what's behind. Maybe the person had a bad mood, something bad happened in his or her family, and that's why they treated you the way you thought is not the way you should be treated, right? So I try, but sometimes I struggle with that because some people maybe don't communicate in a way that I think they should, and maybe they just treat me in a way that I don't want to be treated and stuff like that. But
many years ago, I was at a seminar. It was probably about 45 years ago. It was in Phoenix, and it was on body language, and the person who was closing the conference was the dean of theology from Princeton University. I will never forget what he said. It didn't mean much to me at the time, but then over time, it revealed itself to me through interactions with people. Here's what he said. Be kind to those you meet, because we are all fighting tough battles. Now think about that for a second. Think about what you just said about, you know, maybe that clerk at a Tesco that gave you a frown or a bad look. That person could have just found out that they had a terminal illness, or they could have just lost a loved one, or there could be any number of things that have happened to them that created that bad sort of reaction to you. And if you keep this in mind, and believe me, it is not easy. This is something that I wrestle with. But if you keep that in the back of your mind, it really gives you an interesting and very different perspective on those people that you meet.
Yeah, I agree, because it's tough sometimes. As you just mentioned, even in the restaurant or somewhere where you don't really want to build relationship with those people at the first place. You're just there as a customer or something. But you're right. We should be treating everybody the same way. And we don't know what's behind. So we should definitely keep this in mind. But I want to close the topic of serendipity with just saying, and I think that you will agree because you have much more experience and you have seen it many, many times in your career or even other people's careers. And that's the serendipity is definitely the key, but also what is important is that you need to be prepared to take advantage. So it means that you need to work hard and you need to be in a place where the serendipity can actually happen. Because serendipity doesn't mean that you will be standing in the corner or you will just be on your sofa at home doing nothing, just hoping for something great to happen, right? It doesn't work like that. And I think this is just very important thing to mention.
Serendipity is something that never comes looking for you, but it will always answer the door when you knock on it. And that is what you have to remember. You know, life is a matter of what I call the law of large numbers. The more things you try, the more things you do, the more places you go, the more people you meet, the greater the chance that you are going to find something that clicks, that falls into that serendipitous category of finding something of great value. It's the law of large numbers in a way.
I love it. Agree. And let's move on to another topic. And the topic is attitude, having the right attitude. Because I think it's directly linked to the conversation that we have been having so far. in terms of, you know, having those things in your mind. What do you want to achieve and how you want to achieve it? Having a clear sense of your values, for example, and stuff like that in your life. So could you talk about attitude and, for example, what is the biggest lesson learned from people you have worked with? How maybe they changed the attitude, or what was the trigger for them to change the attitude from maybe being negative in life and really seeing things through a different perspective and turning it into something that is positive and that truly impacted their life for the better?
Attitude is, hands down, is one of my favorite topics, only because I've done a lot of research and I've done a lot of just life experience around this particular topic in my work. The data are conclusive. There have been many, many studies done over the last 30 years. Attitude alone is much more important than any skill or ability in moving yourself forward in life, especially if what you want to do in life involves other people. All right? Now, I've had people say to me, well, what about a research chemist? You know, he can be anybody he wants to be attitude-wise because he just sits at a, you know, little table and works on things. But I've worked with research chemists before, and what they tell me is the breakthroughs that they've been able to make through collaboration with other scientists and working on a team. And so this is where this attitude thing comes back, even to the hard sciences. So here's what it looks like. You cannot talk about success without talking about a positive attitude. But I think many people misunderstand the definition positive when they talk about positive attitude. And here's what most people think of, I think, when they think of it. People joke with me about being an American, and they say, oh, you know, you Americans all have this, you know, you laugh and you smile at everything and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so I tell them that is what I call delusional optimism. Now, delusional optimism, we all have known people that are delusionally optimistic. These are the people that, you know, you walk up to them and say, oh, you know, my house burned down last night. I don't know what I'm going to do. And they say, oh, don't worry. There are lots of houses out there and you'll probably find a better one. And hey, let's go get a beer. Well, the problem with delusional optimism in the role of especially a leader is nobody believes them. They know that they don't have any touch to reality. And this is somebody that, you know, how can we believe this person? Now, on the other end of the spectrum is delusional pessimism. Now, these are the people that see life as a series of conspiracies. It's like those idiots that work for me have held me back for too long, or the government has just, you know, has put so many regulations on this industry, I can't do this and that. And so they always have a reason why something didn't work. And so they're unbelievable to people because the people that are unfortunate enough to work with them, look at them and say, if things are so bad, why are you here? You know, kind of a thing. Now, so what does a positive attitude look like in the 21st century? A positive attitude looks like this. It's, and I'll use it in the context of leadership because that's where I've spent my life and that's where I spend my life. Positive attitude with regard to a leader today is someone who accepts the challenges, identifies them, and reveals them to the people that are looking to them for leadership and paints a vision of how they're going to get through it, what it's going to look like when they get through it. And then they stand next to them and lead them by their example. One of the most fantastic examples of this in history comes from the early 15th century, the British King Henry V. And I use this example a lot in my speeches and in my work with boards of directors when we talk about positive attitude. Early 15th century, I want you to picture a very cold, a very rainy autumn day. Henry is marching through France to Agincourt, to the battlefield, to meet the French army. His army is made up of shopkeepers, farmers, peasants, and some noblemen. They've been marching for 3 weeks. They're hungry and they're tired, and many are sick. They get to the battlefield at Agincourt. They have the plain or the flat land, and up on the hill around them is the French army. Well fed, they're in their tents, they have the finest armory and horses in Europe. And it's an army of the French nobility. They've been trained to fight and so on. They're outnumbered, depending on the historian that you want to believe, anywhere from 5 to 7 to 1. They're outnumbered. Now, you can imagine how the British feel at this point, okay? Henry, and this is so wonderfully depicted in Shakespeare's play about Henry V, and Kenneth Branagh made a wonderful movie, and there's about a 5-minute clip in there about the speech at the Battle of Agincourt. I urge everyone to get it on YouTube. It's 5 minutes long. Henry steps up in front of his army and says, "This is terrible. This is going to be a battle like no other battle. I want you to know that. And I want you to know that anyone who does not want to go through this battle with me today, I will give them safe passage back to London, because I don't want my warriors to die in the presence of people who don't want to be here. But for those of you who stay and fight with me on this day, I will tell you that in the future, men will be angry at themselves for not being here with us, because they will hold their manhood cheap, that they were not on the battlefield with us." And so he paints this picture of the future. Well, the outcome is military history. It is one of the most incredible military victories in the history of military war. 10,000 French died that day. Less than 100 British soldiers died on that battlefield that day. This is what a positive attitude in the right frame looks like. And so this is what I talk to about leaders today. It's acknowledging the challenge, acknowledging this is going to be tough, and painting a vision, but standing there with your people and leading by your example.
Great story. And I want to ask you if you have some real life example about how the change in attitude impacted the company, impacted the person, if we can get a sense of what's going on right now in 21st century.
Well, I can think of many. I can't give any specific names because I don't want to betray any confidences. But let me just explain in general the idea here. In my work, and I work with alphas. I call them like alpha males, alpha females. These are very driven, very accomplished people, very successful people, by the way. But something is getting in the way. Either their board of directors is telling them, you know, we're hearing things that maybe there's an aspect of what you're doing that maybe ought to be examined or something. But word has gotten to them. So generally, then someone like me is called in to find out what it is. So then I do a diagnostic. And by that, what I mean is I talk to